Charlie was in the pub talking with his friend and telling him about his brother and saying how he'd been on his first solo flight the previous week. Charlie's brother had been learning to fly. And the conversation went like this. "Oh, that's good," said the friend. "Well, it wasn't," said Charlie. "The engine caught fire at 3,000 feet. "That's bad," said the friend. "Oh, it's okay. He had a parachute," said Charlie. "That's good," said the friend. And Charlie continued, "It wasn't really, because it failed to open." "That's bad," said the friend. And Charlie continued, "Well, it just happened there's a large haystack in the field below him." "Ooh, that's good," said the friend. "Not that good," said Charlie. "There was a pitchfork pointing upwards, sticking out in the middle of it." "Oh, that's bad," said the friend. Charlie continued, "Well, by a bit of luck," he said, "my brother missed the pitchfork." "That's good," said the friend. Charlie continued, "No, it wasn't really. He missed the haystack too." Now that's the sort of stupid story clergy love to begin sermons with, and it will throw no light at all on Luke's gospel or the Christian faith, and it won't help you a lot if you're flying either. But if it has any connection, it's this. When we come face to face with the Christian message, we very often find it hard to make up our minds as to whether it's good news or bad news we're listening to. And can I urge you this morning, having heard Jeremy and now looking at Luke 19, to keep awake and listen carefully, because this story about Zacchaeus, this incident, reminds us that actually Jesus and his call and what he offers is the best news in the world for any of us, whatever our background, whatever our situation, whatever our past. And it's a good story to be looking at in the West End of London this morning, because it's not just a story from years past. No, it's a city story. And we could say perhaps that Zacchaeus represents the unacceptable face of capitalism. But it's also not just a city story, but also a gospel story, a story of good news. It takes place, chapter 19, verse 1, in Jericho. And Jericho was a place of contrast. It was a beautiful city. It was crowded with palms, but it teemed with snakes. Perhaps you remember that parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the priest and Levite passed the mugged man. They'd been on their way to Jericho. No wonder. Lots of people went to Jericho. It was a place many went to. It was a winter resort. It was an important trading centre. And it was world famous for its balsam groves. Jericho was, in a very real sense, a world in miniature. There's the beautiful and the ugly. There's the cold clerics and the pious men of God. There were the exploited and the exploiters. There was goodness and vice. But to our story, and let's see what Dr. Luke records for us. Would you notice, please, first, a very lost man. A very lost man. Look at verse 2, will you? "A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy." And reading that reminds me of a comment made by Woody Allen, that money is better than poverty, if only for financial reasons. But actually, Zacchaeus' life was pretty grim. You imagine you die this next week, and your obituary is written in the national newspaper, and all they can say about you is that you were very wealthy and a chief tax collector. It would be pretty awful a bitch to have written on your life. It would seem to make your life very trivial and empty and worthless. So that was all that could be said about you. If you'd spoken to Zacchaeus, he might have told you about how money was his God, how money, if you like, was his Trinity. Money was his creator, he might say. "Look, I'm a self-made man. Money is my saviour. When I'm in trouble, it can get me out of a hole. I can fly somewhere or get a lawyer. Or money is my comforter. when I'm down in the dumps, I can go to Antigua on a holiday, or go down to Jermyn Street and buy some nice shirts. You see, Zacchaeus' life consisted of luxury but loneliness, of wealth which afforded him no joy. He was rich but dissatisfied. He had money, but he was a social outcast. Why? Because he was a tax collector, and worse still, a chief tax collector. And therefore he was hated for two reasons. He was a traitor to the Romans who occupied Palestine, and also he made his living by taking a cut of the taxes, and therefore he constantly overcharged. Oh yes, Zacchaeus was doing very well for himself. He was wealthy, he had a nice home, a wall to wall, a deep pile of carpets, servants, but in the drive no doubt a Dana and a Porsche, a wonderful attractive wife, and four nice children. But even in his own home, he couldn't escape the thought that he was an embezzler and an exploiter. Perhaps as he wandered around his large house, there's a chandelier somewhere which reminded him of that, or a painting, or an old master drawing, which reminded him of some other corrupt exploitation. Zacchaeus, rich but dissatisfied. See, life seems to have no purpose for him. And perhaps there's something like that here this morning. Don't look at what you have. Rather, look at what you are and be brutally honest with yourself as to the state of your life. It was Edmund Blackadder, alias Rowan Atkinson, who put it like this about life. Life is like a broken pencil. Pointless. That's how life seemed to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very lost man. Life seemed absolutely pointless despite everything he had. And though he was a lost man, Jesus was very concerned for him. And I'm sure there are a number here this morning who in a similar way know yourself to be very lost. You know yourself to have an empty life. A life which is going nowhere, which gives no satisfaction, just like Zacchaeus experienced. First, a very lost man. Second, a very little turning point. Look at verses 3 and 4, will you? Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a very short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. Imagine, all rather undignified, wasn't it? He had to run, and you can imagine the crowd jostling him. And then he must have thought to himself as he clambered up that tree, why on earth am I doing this? After all, trees are just for little boys to clamber up. And we're not sure how Zacchaeus has heard of Jesus, but certainly we know from the Gospels that Jesus very often was called a friend of tax collectors. Perhaps he'd heard via Levi and other tax collectors who'd met with Jesus. It seems perhaps Zacchaeus has heard there was this man Jesus who cared for outcasts, for tax collectors. Perhaps that was a ray of hope for him in his lostness. And so his own emptiness painfully forced in on him. He seeks after Jesus. He goes to see, verse 3, who Jesus was. See, verse 3, it was a very little turning point. It was mere curiosity. He wanted to see, as the verse says, who Jesus was. You see, many of us sense, don't we, there's a God-shaped gap in our life. We've tried everything else, it's not satisfied. Our lives are falling to pieces. And perhaps therefore we need to see who Jesus is. Look, will you, at verse 4. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Put it into city terms today. It's like a Lloyd's underwriter or a merchant banker, a city's gentleman, hanging from a lamppost. It was so infra-dig. And yet Zacchaeus, so desperate, he was willing to do it, just like Jeremy's willing to go and pray to God in that car park in Holland. Life often seems to turn on little things. Perhaps somebody here this morning has just come into All Souls for the first time. Perhaps you live in the area and you decide to come because you've seen the notice board outside and that their service is at 11 a.m. Or perhaps you're walking past this morning and you've just wandered in to see what the building is like. Or you've picked up an old Bible at home and you've begun to read it and you've found yourself inextricably drawn to this person, Jesus Christ. Or a friend invited you to All Souls this morning and then to come home for lunch. Perhaps today, or in days past, there's begun for you a little turning point. For Zacchaeus, it was a very little turning point. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Can I urge you to follow it through? You'll lose out on life and eternity. A very little man, a very little turning point. Third, a very powerful God. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You see, God is in control, and God does as he chooses. And so here Jesus, unasked, stops. Unasked, speaks. Unasked, demands hospitality. Unasked, changes Zacchaeus' life. Hospitals may ignore or discharge those who are incurable, who've been written off, but not Jesus. In the drama of life, when Zacchaeus seems to be standing alone on the stage, carrying on, at least internally, a despairing monologue, another one comes and joins him in the play, in the drama of his life, in the tragedy of his life. And it's such good news, because verse 10, this Jesus is the Son of Man, and he's come to seek and to save the lost. A very lost man, a very little turning point, a very powerful God who involves himself in our lives. And fourth, a very urgent call. Look at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. You see that? Jesus was passing through. He wasn't staying long. And Zacchaeus responded to this very urgent call from Jesus, who was simply travelling through Jericho. I wonder what tree you need to come down from, where you need to heed Jesus' call. But perhaps you've just been living for some selfish ambition or ambitions. You need to come down and actually heed Jesus' call today in that area. Or perhaps it's some secret sin which is controlling you, and you need to heed Jesus' warnings there. Or perhaps you've been ignoring God for ages and ages. You need to come down from that tree of standing aloof and respond to him. Perhaps there's some relationship which isn't right, and you need to sort that out and come down from that tree. Perhaps you've just been living for rampant materialism or hedonism, and you need to turn your back on that and come down from that tree. Perhaps you've been standing aloof from Christian things for years. Perhaps you need to come down from that tree of self-sufficiency and be willing to be open and to look at the Christian faith further. I wonder if there's somebody here who's aware that through circumstance and people, that actually Jesus has been calling you. Oh yes, Jesus went to see that man Zacchaeus, said to him, "Zacchaeus," called him by name. But perhaps there's somebody here today who Jesus is calling. And he says, "Look, James, come down from that tree. Sophie, come down from that tree. Hugh, come down from that tree. Ruth, follow me. Come down from that tree. Come down immediately." Can I urge you, if you find this morning that God is giving you an opportunity, do take it. Think about a railway station. You're on the railway platform. A train comes into the station, which is going to your destination, where you want to get to. Well, it's plain stupid not to get onto it, isn't it? So good that Zacchaeus responded to this very urgent call. If he'd missed out then, well, it would have had eternal consequences for him. A story is told about the Devil University. And it's the summer term, and three little devils are doing their finals. And the last paper is about how it's best to mislead human beings, how best to mislead men and women. And they write their essays with great vigour, aware that they can then relax after the finals. And they give different answers on how best to mislead human beings. One of them ends up with a third class degree. And his answer, in short, says, tell human beings there's no God. And the other devil, his answer is there's no such thing as sin. And he gets a second class degree. But the third little devil gets a first class degree. In fact, a starred first. And his answer, what he wants to say to human beings, is tell them not that there's no God or no sin, but tell them there's no hurry. Beware if you're ignoring an urgent call. It's tragic if, because you ignore an urgent call this morning, you lose eternity with Christ and plunge into a Christless hell. A very lost man. A very little turning point, a very powerful God, a very urgent call, and fifth, a very definite stand. Think about Zacchaeus. He seemed a definite non-starter. Many people have felt that nothing can give men and women a fresh start. Listen to D.H. Lawrence, the novelist. I quote, Christianity is bound to fail. No inspiration whatsoever will get weak, impotent, worthless, and rebellious men and women beyond their own limits. Well, the story of Zacchaeus reminds us how wrong D.H. Lawrence was. You see, Zacchaeus did a U-turn. Look, will you, at verse 7 a minute. Jesus calls Zacchaeus down. Zacchaeus welcomes him. And then the establishment, the religious people say this. I quote, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Because if your life's a dustbin, if life is falling apart, well, Jesus is concerned for you. And the question is not, are you good enough? But as Jeremy said earlier on, are you bad enough? Do you realise what a mess your life is in? Now, we're not sure what Jesus said to Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus to Jesus. But Zacchaeus showed that he was under new management. And the good news of this story is that there's no sin we can't repent of. The condition, what we're reminded of here, is we have to repent of all known sin. And don't you think that we can trust Jesus to know what's best? What's best for you and I? You see, what Jesus asks us to turn from is that which is not good for us and is not good for others. And the actions of Zacchaeus show him turning, what the New Testament calls repenting. Now, there is a cost to following Jesus Christ. It would be unfair to tell you, come to Jesus, everything will be easy from then on. No, there is a cost to following him. But it's nothing. It's minuscule in comparison to the cost of ignoring Jesus and then suffering eternal loss. Perhaps you this morning are despairing and greatly concerned because it seems that nothing can alter the past, that nothing can change the present or make the future different. Well, that wasn't Zacchaeus' experience. It's not been Jeremy and Mary's experience either. Jesus Christ transformed Zacchaeus' life, and he still is in the business of transforming the lives of men and women and girls and boys. This grasping, self-centered tax collector becomes a generous disciple of Jesus, living a life of sacrificial service. What's faith? What's true faith? True faith is a response to Jesus who seeks and saves the lost. Will you look at verses 9 and 10? Jesus, speaking to Zacchaeus, says this: "Today salvation," that's rescue, "has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Isn't Jesus and what he offers each of us the best news in the world? As I end, two conditions. If you're going to have this wonderful gift of fresh start, if you're going to receive this best news in the world, if you're going to receive this person, Jesus, the first thing to do is, like Zacchaeus, to acknowledge our lostness. It's actually, life is falling apart and we're in a total mess and lost on our own. I wonder, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to acknowledge your lostness to Jesus Christ? And the second thing to do, having counted the cost, is to welcome Jesus into your life, into my life, into our life. And if we're wise, that's what we'll do. Or certainly we'll agree to look further and investigate. Why? Because actually we're all sinners. We're all lost without Jesus. See, the very lost Zacchaeus came to a very little turning point. It all began with him wanting to see Jesus. That was the hinge of discovery. I wonder if somebody here this morning who needs to say, "Yes, I acknowledge I'm lost. I acknowledge I need help, and I welcome Jesus into my life." There may well be somebody like that. I do hope you will pray and cry out to Christ in prayer this morning. I guess there are many more, though, who are unsure. You need to look further. And you want, certainly like Zacchaeus, to see this Jesus, to find out whether it really rings true. Well, this morning could be a hinge of discovery for you, because on the back of our service sheet, there's a little tear-off slip about Christianity Explained. And I'd urge you to make sure, before you go, you fill that out with your name, address, and telephone number, and put it in a red box at the back of church, and I'll pick it up later, or give it to me as you leave this building. And that do come tomorrow evening to the Christianity Explained course, because you might find your whole life is turned round and never the same again. Wonderfully, never the same again. Let's pray. It's a moment of silence for us to ponder perhaps where God's been speaking to us this morning. Zacchaeus, a very lost man, a very little turning point, very powerful God, very urgent call, and then a very definite stand. Lord Jesus Christ, you know us better than we know ourselves. You see us as we are. And we ask that you would help each of us to respond as we should to what we've heard this morning. How we thank you that the Lord Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Help us be men and women who are willing to acknowledge our lostness and then to ask you into our lives to make a difference. And for others, please help us to make the time to see Jesus, to look at the gospel, to come to Christianity Explained. So help us to do what's right for us this morning. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.